Very important report from John Rood, focused on a region of this world that is key in the prophetic scenario God has laid out through the ancient Jewish prophets for us to understand the times. As we look at what is going on in the European Union, we're very aware of how that will be the infrastructure for the revived Roman Empire. That's why we go to John on a weekly basis. Well, we're going to bring a broadcast partner to the table right now. He is becoming somewhat of a regular here as a broadcast partner on Prophecy Today. Sam Rohr is his name. He is the president of the American Pastors Network. Also has a television and radio program, Stand in the Gap Today, and he is the host of that program, heard across the nation and seen across the nation as well. Sam, we have just witnessed the idea of a peaceful transition from one president to another. Now, for some, that may be a real problem, but in reality, that is good news, is it not?
Well, Jimmy, it is good news. It's good news that there were no riots on the street, that there has not been bloodshed associated with this transition. So, yes, absolutely. But at the same time, we all know that there were a lot of improprieties and allegations about what happened, and that was not a resolved issue, still is not resolved even right now, but it did not lead to any kind of bloodshed. So to that extent, there was a peaceful transfer of power, and for that is something that we can be glad.
Let me ask you, we saw quite a visual in Washington, D.C. during the time of inauguration of the 46th president, Joe Biden. But I wonder, what are your thoughts, Sam? Did the military and the barricades that surrounded most of the Capitol building and a lot of Washington, D.C., did that hamper the day anyway?
Well, I think it did, particularly from the standpoint of a visual image communicated to the world. And I think in regard to that, it kind of gets to the idea of why were they all there? Did they prevent something that did not happen and that didn't happen because they were there and that's why we don't know about it? Or were they there playing into a much larger degree of optics? And the reason I say that is that, Jimmy, we've talked about it a lot. We are in days of enormous deception. We know that the media, the communications, represent a lot of disinformation. There are a lot of intentional lies that are out there. There are distortions of truth. There's portions of truth. To me, it reminds me very much of the days before the end days that Christ talked about, days of deception. And in that regard, those who were, for instance, went to D.C. on January the 6th, well over a million people, probably more than has ever been there gathered to celebrate and to support President Trump at that point, that event, and I know many people were there, and probably many of those listening to the program perhaps were there, families, moms and dads and children, grandmoms, granddads, and a lot of flags waving and red, white, and blue. They went there to support freedom in America, but something tragic happened in that event. A very small group of people that we know now were actually allowed into the Capitol by police who let them in. They didn't break their way in. They were actually allowed in and escorted in. But yet the media took and turned that to say it was an act of insurrection. They laid it at the feet of the president. There were pictures of breaking and entering. And it made it look to the rest of the world like the United States was no different than any of the other third world countries. And the communication, the optics of this transition in power, to me, demonically made to make the good patriots, peace-loving, the kind that when they go and they leave, the grounds are clear and clean there in D.C., to make them look like they actually were the terrorists. And the terrorists that were there, the Antifa people who were there in the ground, weren't even really brought into the picture. To me, it was a graphic display of, again, deception on a grand scale. The guard and all that were there were brought there to demonstrate and to show to the world that, the United States is an armed camp, and these patriot people who like President Trump, as an example, they're troublemakers, and now we have an administration who's going to come in and unify this divided nation. There were a lot of optics intentionally set, I believe, for the influence of the image of the United States worldwide.
Speaking of the optics, I'm not going to forget the sight I saw as President Trump and his wife got onto Marine One. They flew that over to Andrews Air Force Base to fly Air Force One down to their home in Florida and made a short statement that seemed to say he may come back. Do you think that is a possibility?
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously, when you are as popular as the president is, and there are as many devoted followers as he has, you do not want to give indication that all is done, because really there was a movement involved. So I think the president's saying he will be back. I don't know what that means. Some people say, well, it'll be back again. He'll be running again in 4 years. Well, you know, at that point, he'll be 78 or so years old. The likelihood of that happening realistically, probably pretty slim. But I think whether it's him who will be back or the push for freedom and patriotism remains and goes on, it may actually be probably more than that.
I don't know if you were able, Sam, to watch the inaugural speech made by Joe Biden. My reason for the question is, did it sound like a message to the United States of unifying or dividing? What were your thoughts?
Well, I did not watch the entire address, so I cannot say I watched the entire thing. I did catch clips of it, and I watched part of it. Let's put it this way. He used a lot of the right words, unifying, and I'm going to be the president of all, and even those who didn't vote for me. Those are exactly the right words to say, because to have not said that would have been extraordinarily improper. But, you know, now, did he mean that? Well, it's going to depend on what it means by unifying. I think on the program, or the most recent Stand on the Gap Today program that you and I were on, I believe, we talked about the fact that unity is what actually can only happen when there's a unity around the truth, and the truth being the truth of God and God's Word. Beyond that, there can be an agreement to a cause, but that's not unity. So when the new president begins to unfold all of the executive orders of President Trump and to now reenact abortion policies across the world, just did that, rejoined the World Health Organization, and all that means, and a commitment to bring the world into a concerted global health pact or whatever he was talking about. All of those things may be unifying, but you have to clarify, unifying to whom? Now, it may be unifying to a global government, but I don't find it at all remotely close to unifying in the true sense around truth, the Word of God, and God as truth.
Sam, I saw statistics that said that 78% of evangelicals voted for Donald Trump. Now, having said that, should Christians be concerned about this new administration and what lies in the future in the next 4 years as it relates to the Christian community?
Well, Jimmy, I think that is a great question. And I would say, should they be alert? They absolutely should. My guess is a great majority of them already are alert. It doesn't take anyone who has any ears to hear or eyes to see who can already see the marked change, the direct turnabout in policies, even from the standpoint of the prayer at the inaugural prayer. The individual prayed to the unifying faith of the world or whatever, but it certainly wasn't to the God of heaven or in Jesus' name. Again, it fits right into some new global religion, this unified faith concept. So I think anyone who voted for the president had made their choice clear on a lot of reasons. They do need to be alert, and they do need to be watching, but they already know a substantial turn has already occurred.
Sam, I know you're not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, and I say that tongue in cheek. But please give me your opinion. Will it be a bipartisan approach to governing the people, or only one-sided in the next 4 years?
Well, I think, again, that's a good question. Bipartisan, I define it, I guess, this way. Bipartisan often means of both parties, Democrat and Republican. I think one thing for sure, the Democrat majority led by a Democrat, President Biden, but also with some very clear Republican leaders, particularly in the Senate. Mitch McConnell, now the minority leader, more or less, already made a strident departure from the president in the last few days. Fellows like Mitt Romney and others, they've already departed. So I think you are going to see some Republicans join the Democrats. But I'm going to say it's going to be not bipartisan. It's going to be very, very focused in one common ideology. You're going to see the ideology of the left, I would term it that way, of a global mentality, a globalistic thought. That'll be the unifying, if there is such a thing, ideology. It's going to be a very, very focused ideology that's going to be executed aggressively, as we're already seeing, and it will pull every one of the Democrats, but I think it's going to pull quite a number of Republicans, perhaps on the Senate side as well. That is not going to be good for any real kind of partisanship. You're not going to have a strong voice on the Senate side, I don't think, to oppose the direction of a President Biden.
That's the voice of Sam Rohr. He is the president of the American Pastors Network and host of Stand in the Gap Today, both radio and television. Sam, thank you so very much for your insight. Appreciate it. I'm sure we'll have many more conversations in this upcoming year.
Thank you, Jimmy.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, one more broadcast partner. That's David James. Join us as we talk with him after the news and in the next segment. All ahead right here on Prophecy Today.